Hi, and welcome to a Juno Afternoon. I'm Andy Klein, your host for today, and thanks for joining us. Well, it's all about art today on this first Friday of November with a discussion with artists and organizers of some of the beautiful work you're going to see as you walk the galleries this evening, and also the art of the spoken world as well. We're going to be talking with Kendra Herget and from Kindred Post and the featured artist Autumn Daigle, and Mark Wheeler from COPA will be here as well with Christine Crooks to explain what's behind the art being shown at COPA today and how it will benefit the people of Ukraine. Mary McEwen from the Juno Artist Gallery is going to tell us why we should think more about garbage as art. And Alita Buss and Stephanie Hoag will be here to preview this month's Mudrooms for us. That's all ahead for this first Friday edition of Juno Afternoon. I hope you'll stay with us. All right, well, let's check out the weather today. Well, it's actually looking like a pretty nice weekend coming up, although pretty cold. So scattered rain and snow showers are in the forecast for the rest of the day with some partly sunny skies, as you're already seeing out there. Then mostly cloudy tonight with a low around 22. Tomorrow, mostly sunny, highs around 27. So cold, and northeast winds around 30 miles an hour, so windy. And this wind is going to be picking up for tomorrow night as well. Mostly clear, but 40-mile-an-hour winds and gusts as high as 55 miles an hour. Sunny skies for Sunday as well. Again, the gusts up to 50 miles an hour. Clear Sunday night. And then Monday, sunny as well with a high near 27. And that forecast is going to kind of continue for a couple of days. And then on Wednesday, it'll cloud up, highs near 30. And Wednesday night, low around 22. And Thursday, mostly cloudy skies with a high near 32 degrees.
Support for Juno Afternoon comes from Heritage Coffee Roasting Company, providing Juno with locally roasted coffee for over 40 years, with cafes and drive-through locations throughout Juno. More at heritagecoffee.com.
KTOO would like to acknowledge that we broadcast from the homelands of the Akkwan. The Kliné Di have stewarded this area for thousands of years. Today, our studios sit on a spot once part of the tidelands, now covered over with buildings, roads, and parking lots. We recognize those families who traveled to and from these tidelands to fishing and hunting grounds and to gatherings in other villages and still cherish it as an important part of their way of life for today and for future generations.
Did you know that the governor and the legislature has the authority to appoint and confirm members to the Board of Fish and the Board of Game? These boards make decisions about how, when, and where we can hunt and fish, which directly impacts our ways of life. We need to ensure our values are represented. Use your voice on November 8th and vote.
Gunaschish.
Goyana.
Hi, eh.
Paid for by Native Peoples Action Community Fund.
And welcome back to Juno Afternoon. Andy Klein with you on this, what's turning into a beautiful November weekend ahead. And of course, it's First Friday, which means that we get to talk to artists and gallery owners and talk to them about the work they're doing. And Kendra Herget is here from Kindred Post. Kendra, thanks so much
Hi,
for coming
Andy.
In.
Thanks so much.
And Kindred Post is always, of course, a must-see stop on any of the First Fridays and just anytime you're walking around downtown, right?
Kendra
Thanks for
Post. Saying that.
Yeah. You got to stop
we,
in.
I
See
think
what's
we
new
are.
There,
yeah.
All the fun stuff you guys have. And Autumn Daigle is here. Autumn, you're an artist that's being featured this month at Kindred Post.
Very excited that they're willing to have me.
Is this? Tell me about that in your career. Is this one of the first times you've been featured as an artist, or is this something that's kind of grown? Or
yeah, this is my first like first Friday event, like first in person thing. COVID kind of squashed a little bit of my opportunities there, but I've done other like commission work in the past. But this is my first event, so I'm really excited to do it.
Well, I mean, this is radio, so I could describe, you're a young person, so young people are so affected by the last 2 years. I mean, it must have really put a crimp in your career, or did it focus you, or how did those years, these last couple of years of a little bit more isolation, a little bit more alone time and time at home, how did that shape your work?
I think it honestly made me a lot more dedicated to art because it was like one of the only things I could do during lockdown. So I think that was like one of the biggest outlets for me and like staying positive and upbeat during the whole COVID thing. So it obviously took away some of my social aspects of it, but overall I think it helped.
That can be a distraction.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly.
Right?
I'm too social. Yeah. Took away all my distractions. Yeah.
I don't know. But, you know, then you have those artist roundtables and, you know, the ideas flow like Paris in the 20s. You know, Juno is like that sometimes, right? I mean, Juno is an artistic community.
Yeah, it's been super great to be here. And just like the support from the community has been awesome.
Do you have is there sort of a group of, you know, artistic friends that you collaborate with or discuss ideas with or that sort of thing?
Yeah, I have some people for sure. Like not, you know, not as many as I'd like to have, but
sure, yeah.
Definitely there's people who I draw a lot of inspiration from, and it's been really good.
Well, we'll talk about your work specifically that you're showing in a second, but let's just talk a little bit about Kindred Post. Kendra, just it's become such a cool anchor tenant.
It's a
for
mecca of art
of
in the middle
art.
Of Juno. Yeah, isn't it fun? I feel very privileged to work for Kindred Post and to work with artists like Autumn. There we go. I personally have been looking forward to her event all year long. When she applied last year, I was just like, oh my gosh, this idea that she has about textures of Alaska and everybody getting to do their own lino cut print is just so cool. And I'm looking forward to everyone doing it tonight.
Let's talk about that. So there's an interactive part of this. Is that what's going on?
Yeah, because for me, like, doing art makes me look at the world in such a different way. Because instead of just, like, looking at things, I look, like, a lot closer. And Textures of Alaska is, like, asking people to really, like, zoom in and, like, carve, like, a specific leaf or like a specific texture of the water or like anything that reminds them of their experiences in Alaska. And I just hope it'll like help everyone like participating to be a little bit more intentional with like the way they see the place they live in, because I think it is so easy to like take Alaska in general for granted because it's so, so spectacularly beautiful. And I just want people to like really zoom in and like find something that like really matters to them and then be able to express that.
Well, now you just used the term carve.
Mm-hmm.
Now let's talk about your artwork. Is it wood, is it kind of wood carved print block? I'm not saying that correctly. I know. Block print.
Lino block.
Yeah.
Okay. I've done that, I think.
Uh-huh.
You know, like you kind of you get the thing going and it
yeah,
makes
it's like
that,
rubber and you like carve it.
It's really satisfying to get a little bead going on it.
For the people that can't see, we're
all
making this like carving motion.
Right. Oh, I know. We're all carving in here. Yes. But tell me about that and about why that's a medium that you think is something that will kind of translate to people coming in tonight.
I think it's a really accessible media because I do a lot of, like, painting, like, watercolor and acrylic and stuff, but that's not as accessible. It's, like, pretty intimidating. But for people, like, you can just draw and then carve out what you drew, and that's, like, a really accessible medium. And also just, like, it used to be in, like, specifically wood block, which is, like, way harder and way more dangerous, like, to slip and cut yourself. But now, since we have, like, linoleum block, it's, like, way more accessible. And I think it's just something, since it used to be not accessible, that people don't really think about. And so I think it'll be cool to, like, kind of introduce that to people who've never really done it before.
But. And your work that you're sort of titling it, Ebb, what is it again? Tell me the title of it again.
Oh, the title of the event is Textures of Alaska, but my art business is titled Ebb and Flow Arts.
Ebb and Flow Arts.
Yeah.
Okay, that's right. So okay, great. So that's good. I'm glad to know that your art business and that's how people can maybe find you or find your work. But then tell me about this specific theme of this show. And I saw some of your work online, and like I was just saying to you before we got on air, I was saying, you know, I looked at it. Is it a mountain? Is it a seashell? Is it something different? Is it a fish head? I mean, sort of like, what is it? And that I thought was a really cool way of thinking about the landscape of Alaska and how it's connected to the creatures and to the fauna and flora of Alaska.
Yeah, I just feel like everything in Alaska is so connected with like the water and like everything is just so such a beautiful ecosystem. And so I think I like that people like maybe misconceive some of the textures as like other things, because then it becomes like more personal to you because you can interpret it whatever way you want.
yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So tell me a little bit about how it's displayed. Kindred Post is interesting, right? Because it's tiny.
Yeah.
It's a tiny little building.
Yeah, it's tiny.
And yet
it's amazing
you guys
how much we fit in there, right?
Yeah. This great artwork in there all the time. So how, when you thought about Is that a consideration when you think about what artists you are going to display in Kindred Post?
Definitely, depending on what kind of like spatial needs they'll have. Last month we had a ceramic artist in there, and that was probably the most push that we've had on our spatial needs because she had like a wheel that she was throwing things on. But usually we just like we take out the whole male part, so we don't do male during First Fridays, and we set up a table back there, and then Autumn will have like the whole workbench to herself and the whole table to do everything that she needs to do. So it is in the back of Kindred Post. You have to come all the way in the back, but it's not that far. As you said, it's pretty small. So like
4 steps.
Yeah, four steps to the back of Kindred Post, and you get to make your own lino block print. So.
That's really cool.
Yeah.
And do you guys, what other kind of stuff are you showing or going to have you shown in Kindred Post in the last couple of months? And are you planning on showing? And we'll talk more to Autumn about her work as well. But
yeah, well, we've had First Friday artists all year. We released our First Friday application sometime around this time last year, so another one's coming out. Everybody keep a lookout if you want to be a First Friday artist at Kindred Post. So Autumn is our last First Friday artist of the year, and then Gallery Walk is traditionally a Kindred Post event. So I believe we are going to do flowers like last year again, but that is me just spitballing. I'm not totally sure what we're doing. But it's something based around Kindred Post and just like the celebration of us and the holidays and that sort of thing.
You theme it on the business itself and on the sort of goals and aspirations that you have as a business and the things that you like to concentrate on. Yeah.
It's the one First Friday that we do for ourselves. Everyone else is for all of the artists and supporting all of the artists. So once a year we take one and we just do our thing.
Well,
and
you're supporting artists even when you do
that.
Yeah,
no, obviously. Of course. Yeah.
Right. So. That's right. Yeah, very cool. And Autumn, tell me about your right now kind of doing. What all are you working on right now? What are the other stuff that you're doing?
Artistically?
Yeah. What's your artistic kind of
pathway?
Pathway. What's your passion right now? What's really getting you excited that you're working on that kind of thing?
Yeah. Well, I'm actually working on a children's book right now. I think it's going to be like watercolor with like a lino cut print over it to create the black line, because my aunt wrote me this little book when I was like 10. It was called The Princesses Were Extra Toughs, and so I'm kind of going to go off of that, and it's going to be a little story because I grew up fishing, and I grew up on an island, and I grew up doing all these things that, like...
She's a commercial fisherman in the summer.
Yeah, I am a commercial fisherman.
I saw online your sort of artist, artist bio is a little bit untraditional profile picture of you just surrounded by fish.
Yeah.
Pulling nets and, really doing the work.
Yeah, right. So that's, my childhood.
And enjoying yourself while you're doing it, it seems like,
Yeah, absolutely. I love fishing, and so I think I want to, market that to, young women as like an option, because I would always tell people I'm a little fisherman and they were just very confused how that worked.
Do you own a permit or what? How do you?
No, I'm just a deckhand right now for my sister.
Trolling or purse seining or what's
I drift gillnet in Bristol Bay.
Out in Bristol Bay.
Yeah.
Oh, all right. Wow. Big water.
Yeah, big water. Yeah. So hopefully I'll have a boat someday, but it's a little bit of an undertaking.
Oh, man, a massive undertaking. Mm-hmm. Incredible that your sister has a boat.
Yeah.
Yeah, wow. That's really an achievement.
Yeah, I'm excited.
That's really cool, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and I guess it's kind of an obvious question, but it seems like that experience really translates into your artistic work.
Absolutely, yeah, because I think that's like where I started looking at everything more closely is out on the boat. Like one of the prints I did is like of the light on the water, and it's like a picture I took with my camera off of the side of the boat because it's like there's nothing else to do but look at the water. You're out there all day, and so I just you have to look at it in a different way or it gets a little boring. And so I think that was like the big inspiration for why I chose to do this project.
Especially when you're working as a deckhand on a boat, it's sort of a zen thing, right? Mm-hmm. Like you're just doing this one, not just one, but like multiple motions, but you're doing repetitive work.
Absolutely.
I can imagine that you maybe are even though you're in the act of fishing and working, you're thinking about your art. Is that right?
Absolutely.
It sort of meditative in a way? Or?
Yeah, I like it. A lot of people don't like it because you're like isolated from everything else in your life for a couple months, but I really enjoy it because it like helps me reset because I have a lot of creative goals, and so it like helps me reset and be like, which ones do I actually want to focus on and like pursue? And that's like a big one of them was lino cut, and so that's why I'm here. That's why I reached out to Kendra, because I just thought it would be super interesting to like be a little bit more specific with my artistic goals and, like, get people involved.
And are you based in Juneau?
Yeah, I'm in Juneau right now for school. I am a junior in college, so I'm just doing school, and then who knows after that, but...
But where are you from?
Oh, I'm from Homer,
Alaska.
Okay. Yeah.
Oh,
so
cool. Yeah.
Alaska, but just to jump over.
Well, Homer's got so many similarities to Juneau, I think. Mm-hmm. You know, when I've been Homer, I was smaller and kind of quainter in a way, right?
Absolutely.
But there's so many similarities, really, in Homer.
So
but it's a beautiful, beautiful area. The whole Kachemak Bay and all that area.
Yeah, very,
gorgeous.
Like, artistic community. That's, like, the biggest thing I noticed that's, like, similar is, like, I walked into Kindred, I go, oh, it feels like home, you know? It's, like, basically, I don't know, not the same, obviously, but just.
But that must feel, artistic. That must sound, that's, like, music to your ears, right?
Yeah, I love when people come in and they're like, oh, this feels like home, or, like, I feel safe here. I think that is one of the most heartwarming things that people can say is, like, oh, this feels like home, and I feel safe, and I feel welcome, and that's what we strive for at Kindred Post, so. It's always nice to hear that. Yeah.
It is interesting that Kindred Post, I mean, you know, it's a mail station.
Yeah.
And that's what it is. But it has all these other goals.
Yeah.
What are some of the other what are those? You know, I don't need you to recite your mission statement or anything, but you know, what are some of the things that you try to convey in your work that people wouldn't normally think of in a mail station?
I mean, I think that the heart of it that I have come to, like, really love about Kindred Post is uplifting artists that may not otherwise have a voice. And so uplifting people who have done their first Friday with us, like Autumn, or, like, uplifting BIPOC artists who would never have a shop in Alaska if it weren't for us, or people who have never wholesaled before because they just don't know how to and they're out in a very small Native community or something like that.
I think of the poetry slams and things like that that have happened there as
well.
You know, that's a scene that Kindred Post really, really, you know, fertilized and kind of made happen.
Yeah.
In Juneau.
And, like, thanks to Christy for all of that.
Absolutely.
She's an absolute amazing event organizer. Yeah. But poetry slams and stuff like that are very near and dear to her heart. And, like, the tiny post office concerts that we used to hold and, like, all of those people are not necessarily professionals in the things that they are doing. We're all just amateurs standing up there doing poetry or singing a song or something. And it is our job as Kindred Post and the employees there to lift those people up and make them feel like they are professionals for a night, because they are.
Do you have goals coming out of this period we've been in with COVID? Obviously, that must have affected your business tremendously.
Yeah.
What are some of the goals, or what are some of the resets that you're trying to do seeing that's kind of looks like that's ebbed?
Yeah, I mean, I think that I feel just like a breath of relief to even host First Fridays, because the first year that I worked for Kindred Post, there were no First Fridays. And so it's so nice to hold this as an event. And this was kind of our bouncing off point post COVID, was like, this is the thing that we can bring back, and we'll just start here. But I presume that tiny post office concerts and tiny poetry slams and everything under the sun will make its way back into the world eventually, but it just takes a whole team to do it. So we got to get back in the mindset of holding events and stuff.
I really appreciate the team that's there at Kindred Post. Kendra Herget is there. What's your title there?
I'm the manager there.
You're the manager at Kindred Post. Well, thanks so much for coming in. Really great to talk to you about what you're doing there and everything that you're doing. And Autumn Daigle is the featured artist this month, and you can go see her work and participate, and she can be art teacher for the day.
I'm excited.
That sounds like such a cool thing to just invite people to come in and roll up their sleeves and get to work.
I think
it's
really cool.
And
I hope people
participate. Yeah, I'm sure they will. I'm sure they will.
Yeah.
Get the
opportunity to do that. I think the coolest thing that I thought about her is she's going to take all of these and she's going to, like, make a mass print of them. So, like, at the end of the night, everybody's going to have this, like, 2x2.
Oh, that's
or not,
really cool.
Like, you get your own 2x2, but, like, she's also going to compile everybody. So it's like a community piece, which is so cool.
That's awesome. Well, great to talk to both of you. Good luck with the you got to go
we
get
over
go. There, right?
Yeah,
I mean,
go,
I know,
yeah.
I always, whenever I talk to people on First Friday, they're always like, come on, let's go.
Roll the tape, let's go.
roll the tape. All right, well, thanks to both of you for coming in, and have a great First Friday.
Thank you for having us.
Okay.
Hansen Gress, ka eat with the shu yi, we ka shuk a yi tin. Jin kat ka ke jin ta ka na khaya ha an ka kh. Gunnish cheese.
I got nobody on my side, and surely that ain't right.
Welcome back to Juno Afternoon. We're talking all about art on this first Friday, but let's talk about the art of the spoken word, and we'll talk about Mudrooms, which actually is happening on Tuesday, and Mudrooms is always such an amazing event that happens, and it's so great that it's now happening again in person. Alita Buss is here as one of the founders of Mudrooms, been with it since 2011. I just saw that. I was remembering back when you guys were starting it. I was working in the radio station back then, and boy, it's amazing to think that it's been 11 years.
Yeah, it's an age ago.
Yeah. And Stephanie Hoig is here as well. And Stephanie, tell me about your organization, and you're the Juno Refugees Relief Fund. Is that right? Yeah. And that's the benefactor of Mudrooms this season.
We're very happy. We just found out yesterday that we get to be the beneficiaries of Mudrooms for this month and next month. And who we are two separate but associated circles of people that got together back starting last winter with the aim of welcoming some refugees to Juno. And we have been able to partner with the Juno Arts and Humanities Council as the nonprofit that can receive donations for us, and they help to manage our funds. And we've also received some very generous support from the Kunikshide Northern Lights Church. So we want to thank them. So we started the process last winter to become certified and approved as a group that could welcome refugees. And our first, the first group welcomed Irina and her son Ivan at the beginning of July, and the second group, of which I'm a part, welcomed the Pomenalje family just at the end of September. So they've been here just about a month now.
And where are these folks from?
The Pomenaljes are from Kyiv. Irina and Ivan, I cannot remember the name of their town.
But these are Ukraine refugees.
Yes, they're all from the Ukraine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and we're going to actually be talking to COPA in a moment about some of the efforts that they're doing with their art show that's also going to benefit Ukraine refugees. So
wonderful.
It's really cool that the community is coming together to support a really tragic situation that's happening there. Well, Alita, it's awesome. That's one thing that's so awesome about Mudrooms, and something that was part of it from the beginning, was that you wanted to identify groups that benefited from this idea of 7 stories, 7 minutes, and $7 donated, suggested admission, right? So that's really, it's amazing. All the different organizations, I mean, I'm not going to ask you to name every single one, but off the top of your head, what are some of the others that have benefited from this?
Yeah, I think the Glory Hall and Trail Mix and the Imagination Library and a bunch over the years.
Yeah. How did you end up? Is there a process by which you ended up choosing this one?
Yeah, so our storyboard met two Wednesday night, and we had 6 applications from organizations. Our deadline was kind of quick this time around. And we just look for organizations who can articulate what they would use the money for and try to make our money make an impact. So it seemed like the Juno Refugee Relief Fund was a good fit for us this time.
Yeah, I mean, it's such a timely thing. It's help that's needed right this minute for a lot of people.
That's right, with the housing, and it just seems like there's some immediate needs during the transition that these families are going through.
Yeah, it's amazing. I mean, just following the news, it's up and down and up and down every day.
It is.
Yeah. How do people find Juno? How does that process work for people that are in Kyiv, let's say, and trying to get to the United States? How is Juno determined as a place where they can end up?
We were matched with our two families in the end by an organization in Anchorage, the Ukrainian Relief. I'm not sure of their exact name, but they are a church-based organization that had been welcoming Ukrainian refugees to Anchorage and was able to help match us with a family that wanted to come to Juno.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, let's talk a little bit about Mudrooms on Tuesday. What's the subject is Uncharted Territories.
That's right.
Is that right? Okay.
That's right.
What are you expecting here? What are some of the featured speakers?
Yeah, so we have, I'll rattle off, Eric Orovsky, Cindy Besser, Laura Kraus, who's the new interim pastor at Kunex Haiti Northern Light Church, Rachel Skywalker, Mudroom's own Rich Moniak, and Carol Bookless. And then our seventh story is the father of this Ukrainian family, Andrei Pomenolny.
Oh, wow. Is going to just kind of speak a little bit about their journey or about their experiences? Or
he says he knows what he'll tell his story about.
Oh, okay.
I don't know yet.
Interesting. But he's been given the parameters, the mudroom parameters.
Yes, and there's some uncharted territory there with a war
and being a refugee.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. That can definitely stick to the theme. No problem.
Yeah.
Yes.
What else is ahead for mudrooms? What other things are ahead on the schedule?
Yeah. So our December event, the theme is Holiday Hullabaloo. And then in January, the theme is Never Again.
And are they booked up yet, or are there still opportunities for speaking?
We always need speakers. Yep. So we're full now for Tuesday night, but then, going forward, we need people to tell stories.
Yeah.
And I should mention we have music on Tuesday by the talented Taylor Vidic, which will be a real treat for everyone, and music by Deborah Wood in December. So we're always looking for storytellers and musicians, and so please find us on our website at mudrooms.org to sign up. Send us an email.
And Mudrooms had to take a break during COVID, right?
We did, yeah. We did the first season audio only. We've had people record on their phones and put it together, but it was a lot of work. And
it's kind of just not the part of the thing about Mudrooms is gathering as a group, telling a story in front of people is a big part of the step you have to take as a speaker, I think. That's sort of the exercise
big
as well.
Big time, yeah. Feeling of community in the hall. And we also couldn't raise money that way, which is a big part of what we do. And so it seemed like we're glad to be back in person, that's for sure.
It did seem like a tough one to figure out how to get that going virtually.
Yeah.
It just didn't quite.
Yeah.
But it's great, as you say. How many have happened now? Is it two or three? Is this the third one, maybe? Or?
Yeah, we did a couple in the spring, kind of a soft reopening with like a limited number and masks. And now last month, October, was the full time the first time that it really felt normal. People, we had the church full and people masked or didn't, depending on their preference. And it felt good.
Now, do you think a lot of people are going to stop by trying to vote?
Well,
at Northern Lights Church.
I know it's not a polling precinct this
year. I tried to vote there last the primary. We walked up. We went, "Where's the vote here sign?" And we realized that we had to go to another spot.
It's the State Museum instead. I think that's important for people to know because,
it was a strange experience, but we got it done.
Maybe we'll get some more audience members who are trying to vote. But no, please vote first before you come to Mudrooms.
Vote first and then go to Mudrooms. Absolutely, we encourage people to vote. Exercise your constitutional right. Well, anything more you want to let people know about the efforts that you're making at the Refugee Fund?
I would say one more thing, that if people would like to donate money to our cause, and as you know, it costs a lot of money to support a family of four in Juneau. Our families are working hard to become independent and self-supporting, but until then we need to make sure that we can meet our commitment to support them financially. And so if people would like to donate, they can go to the homepage at the JAC, Juneau Arts and Humanities Council, and there is a button there for the Juneau Refugee Fund.
Yeah, I should mention, it's really nice to hear. I used to be on the board of the JAC many years ago, and it was one of the efforts that the JAC does is to take organizations that might be a little bit small for taking on all the administrative functions of a nonprofit organization, and it sounds like you took advantage of their ability to put in some administrative effort for your organization, and kind of funnel that through the JAC, which is a really cool thing that they do that maybe not a lot of people know about.
Yeah, I didn't know about it myself until that happened.
Yeah, it's very cool. Well, Alita, great to see you, and good luck with Mudrooms. Again, it's Tuesday night, 7 o'clock.
7 o'clock.
Right? Everything's sevens with Mudrooms, right? So 7 o'clock, seven speakers, of course. Also, the music of Taylor Vidic, that's a bonus. Get there early. I live right across the street from the Northern Lights Church, and it packs out every single time. So it's like you always know when Mudrooms is happening or no when I've missed it.
Yeah, come early to get a parking spot.
Definitely come early.
To walk a little.
Yeah, that's right. And vote, go vote first. So it's Uncharted Territories is the theme. And the benefactor of the Mudrooms this time and next will be the Juneau Refugee Relief Fund. And Stephanie Hoig has been here to explain that. Thanks to both of you for coming in.
Thank you,
Andy. Appreciate it. Great talking to you. Well, we'll continue on the theme now of First Friday again, and we've got a really special First Friday event to talk to a couple of folks about, and something that was actually conceived by another person, and we'll talk about that as well. But we're going to talk about the First Friday that's being hosted by COPA, the wonderful ice cream shop that's so much more. It's in a lot of ways in the same way we were talking about Kindred Post. It's a business that I think was conceived to not just be a great business, but also be a gathering place and a place that shares ideas, and art is one of them. And Mark Wheeler, the owner and operator of COPA, is with us. Mark, are you on the line there via Zoom?
Hey, yeah. Can you hear me?
Yeah,
hear me?
I can. How you doing? Good to hear your voice.
Yeah, good to hear you.
Okay. And I just saw Christine Crooks is also online with us as well. And Christine helped put together this really special show. And she's also, of course, if you know Christine, a wonderful artist in her own right. And Christine, I don't know if any of your works are going to be part of this show, or are they?
Oh, yes. I was happy to donate one.
Okay,
yes.
Great. Well, Christine, I'll just start with you, and then Mark will talk to you a little bit, too, about how this got involved. But Christine, you helped put this show together, but we should really credit Patrick Ripp with the idea. He wasn't able to join us today because he's a physical therapist and is busy today with the clients. But but tell me a little bit about how this idea came together and what this is going to be benefiting. It touches on what we were just talking about with the folks at Mudrooms as well.
Right. Well, my role in this today or earlier this week was to be one of the gophers to run around and help hang the show. There's over 40 paintings in the space at COPA. And those who know COPA, that's a lot of paintings for a small space.
Well, you know, I
so
saw that
wall art.
I saw that in the write up you sent, and I didn't say it in the intro because I thought it might have been a misprint. But amazing.
I told Patrick yes. We could use the bathroom if we needed to.
Oh, well, we forgot about that. But really, this is a major effort, and really Patrick Ripp is the one who spearheaded it. He was very distressed, of course, like all of us, about the Ukrainian situation last March. And he thought, well, I can just do a painting and sell it and donate the proceeds. And speaking with one of his other artist friends, she said, well, why don't you organize some kind of ask other artists to donate and see if maybe COPA would be the space. And you know, Patrick's great. He followed up on that, and that's exactly what happened. And he writes that Mark was very enthusiastic and agreed to support the cause. And that's what it's about, is local Juneau artists. There's probably about 25 artists with 40 paintings in the show. A lovely sort of a space there with a sheet underneath to encourage people to bid on them. And they're primarily scenes of Juneau and Southeast. Patrick's is actually a very specific abstract about Ukraine. And he and his son, Damon, also did a very interesting piece specifically about Ukraine. And I think people would really enjoy just coming to the show. It's going to be up for the month of November through the 25th, I believe. And, you know, it's not just about purchasing that, perhaps you'd just like to make a donation. But Patrick researched it and discovered that there were a lot of ways to donate, but he vetted it, researched it to find an organization that the funds would really go directly to help the victims in Ukraine.
And Mark, and so, let me just ask Mark real quick. Mark, when you were approached with this idea, I can imagine you being enthusiastic about it, because you're pretty enthusiastic about a lot of good ideas. And I think that's sort of, I was alluding a little bit to that, I've never talked to you about this, but it feels like that's part of the model of your business, is to be a place that you can exchange ideas and you can have events like this happen. Tell me a little bit about when it's your thought process on putting this together.
Well, yeah, when Patrick approached me, I said, yeah, of course we would. When do you want to do it? But, we have a real soft spot for Ukraine as well. Back in April, we held a fundraiser. We like to do this every once in a while. We had a big donut production day. We made these Ukrainian donuts, and we donated the proceeds to the World Central Kitchen, which was providing meals to displaced Ukrainians right after the war started. But we have art shows every month. It's been a little less during the pandemic, but we've always tried to have at least one community show during the year, whether it be a middle school art class or just a bunch of people from the community donating a piece. So we're happy to do this, and we're excited. And Patrick's been very thoughtful that we aren't having to process this. So all the funds are going to flow through the Arts Council. So people will bid on the art and through the month, and then the winners will go down to the Arts Council and pay the Arts Council.
It's sort of treated like a silent auction through the month of November.
Yeah.
Is that kind of the idea? Yeah. So you can keep looking at it auction and bid on it and go back into COPA and get some coffee and ice cream and check on your artwork and where the price is through the month of November. And and we should mention that the proceeds for the art show go to an organization called Vostok SOS, Vostok-SOS. And they have a really impressive website that I checked out this afternoon. And you really, boy, you can really see that folks are in need of assistance. This truly tragic situation and unprecedented and uncalled for situation happening in Ukraine right now.
Yeah, it's terrible.
Yeah, Christine.
One thing I want to mention. I just want to mention that we've been blessed to have a cook work for us the past 3 months from Ukraine, and just hearing the stories from her. You know, she comes from Kharkiv in the east, which was heavily bombed, and it's something you just can't imagine. This, you can't imagine going through what these people are going through, and she feels so lucky to be here. She says every day she thinks she's in a dream. You know, she feels very lucky to be here, but it's just unthinkable what's happening over there.
And it feels like whatever we do isn't quite enough, but at least this is something. It's something, and it's a way of showing support and a way of showing some solidarity with the people of Ukraine. Christine, tell me a little bit about the artwork itself and how COPA was transformed in order to put this artwork up.
Yeah, it's actually a style you do where you sort of stack the paintings above. Something certainly that was done many, many years ago in big galleries and museums. So we just took that and put them up. We have such wonderful artists here in Juneau who wanted to donate to this cause. And I think that's something that people can do is look at this painting that they might choose and remember why they did that, why they made a donation that will be going to help. And it's just wonderful to go into a shop like COPA and have real art from all original pieces. These are all media, oil, watercolor, pastel, acrylic, you know, you name it, there it is.
Can you list off a few of the artists that people might be seeing? I mean, people follow Juneau artists so closely, and I'm sure we'll recognize many of the names.
Oh yes. Well, of course, we have Patrick Rip, Jane Lindsay, Susan McDonough, Jane Stokes, Tom Bornstein, Damon Rip, Barbara Craver, Terry Robus, Timmy Johnson, M.K. McNaughton are the ones I could remember hanging 40 pieces. We sort of got lost.
Yeah, I'll bet. And I think it's really a fun idea to me that of course, you want to get through there tonight. But even if you don't get a chance to really peruse all of the paintings tonight, you know, it's up for the month of November. So you can go in and you have the opportunity to look at the paintings and even bid on them.
Well, actually, yeah,
sorry,
Mark,
we're not
wanted to say that. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Go ahead.
We're not open. Yeah, we've had some staffing challenges, so we're not actually open right now. We closed at 3 today, and we'll be open most days until 5. But here and there, we're going to close at 3 throughout the month, just due to staffing realities.
So let me just get it right then. When can people go by? Starting tomorrow, or when's a good time for people to start looking at the artwork?
Yeah, I think on my Monday. We're open Monday through Friday, generally 7:30 to 5. But we'll be closed on Veterans Day, and we're actually closed Thanksgiving and Black Friday. So we're going to have to extend the end of it by a day or two in that last week of November.
Okay, well, I'm glad you mentioned that. So don't take a special walk if it's after 3 p.m. Which is already after 3 p.m. Don't take a special walk over to Copa today, right?
FYI, we hung the show Tuesday night, and I went in Wednesday, and lo and behold, people had already started bidding.
Okay.
Because we didn't have a start date on it. So I think people in Juneau are so generous and happy to see lovely pieces of art that it's going to be a great show. So people should go by, get a cup of coffee, and just enjoy it.
Great. So starting on Monday, you can go by, check it out at Copa. 40 pieces of artwork, all by local artists, are all up for silent auction, and all the money goes to Vostok-SOS, which is a charitable organization based in Kiev, and it offers comprehensive assistance to all the people who are being displaced or affected by the war. So many things needed there for folks, and this is obviously just a small part of what we can do, but it is a part, and it's an important part to show that we support the people that are in Ukraine and in a really tough situation right now. Well, Christine and Mark, thanks so much for, I know it was the last second booking to get you in here. Thanks so much for being flexible and for being available for this Zoom call, and also pass on our thanks to Patrick Ripp for his development of this idea and for seeing it through.
Yeah, big thanks to Patrick. I want to say thanks to Christine too, because hanging a show of that magnitude is no simple feat. So thanks, Christine. And we're going to raise a bunch of money, Juno.
That sounds great. All right. Well, thank you. Thanks to both of you. And again, starts on Monday. You can go by normal business hours for Copa and go check out all the amazing artwork that's for sale, for silent auction sale there at Copa. Thanks to both of you. Have a great day. Okay.
Thanks, Eddie.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.
And coming up, we're going to talk to someone from the Juneau Artist Gallery, Mary McEwen, about what's happening there. There's so much going on in the art world in Juneau right now. Welcome back to Juneau Afternoon. Thanks for being with us today. We've been talking all about art and First Friday and, of course, that wonderful art that's being shown at Copa. It was starting on Monday. And right now, one of the great bases of going to First Friday, every First Friday, is always the Juneau Artist Gallery. Great representation of Juneau artists and always amazing work and varied work and all kinds of formats. And joining us right now is Mary McEwen, who's... Mary, you're the featured artist for this First Friday, is that right?
I am the featured artist this month, yep.
That's great. Have you been the featured artist before?
Yeah, you know, there's about 18 of us that cooperatively own and operate the gallery, and we really trade off. And so it usually ends up being about once a year or a little less. So it's been about a year since I've been the featured artist.
Depending on who's in town when and that kind of thing, right? And
Yep.
Well, tell me a little bit about the focus now. I was really interested by the idea that we should maybe think about garbage in a little bit of an artistic way. So tell me your inspiration behind the works that you're going to be showing this first Friday.
Yeah, well, anytime I'm the featured artist at the gallery, I try to come up with something a little bit different to use that wall space. So I have my typical allotment of wall space at the gallery. And then when you're the featured artist, you get this kind of extra bonus spot up front by the door. And I always try to use that as an opportunity to try something different and a little bit off the wall. And it's usually non-serious. And that's definitely what this collection is. It's stuff that I have made from plastic animal feed sacks. So I think some people may have seen that I've been doing bits and pieces of that for a while. The feed that we get for our birds at home and our chickens, and I get some wild bird seed bags from friends and family, and I get the rabbit feed bags from the JDHS Farm Club is another source, and I sew those in my sewing machine into other stuff. So that is the display that you'll see on the wall if you stop by tonight.
What all livestock do you have?
Well, at my house, there's a lot, but anyone knows me knows that I am married to a supreme animal lover. So we have a flock of pigeons at home. So that's probably the main thing.
You've got pigeons. The thing is, you've got a coop.
Indeed.
Okay. So that's the bird feed. Do you also have chickens, or is it just the pigeons?
You know, not at home, but the club at the high school does. And I've, you know, got a connection there through my spouse, and I've got other friends that hang on to sacks for me as well.
I mean, these period bags, I'm sure they're willing to hang on to a sack for you. Yeah. You know, it's not.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So tell me about what interests you about a feed sack as a medium.
Well, I mean, when I'm thinking about making art lately, the past few years, I've been on this kick where I've been really thinking about the consumption of it. And I love to buy art supplies as much as the next artsy and craftsy person out there. I know there's a lot of us that love to buy stuff at Joann's and all the fun art supplies. But when we create, we're also creating trash. And so I have been trying to kind of focus on the mantra I've been using lately is just start with what you have and go from there. And part of it is just the challenge of making stuff. And this is part of a larger project that's not featured on this display, but you'll be seeing next month is another waste-related project that's going to be at the City Museum that's in the same vein but different.
So this fits into a larger thematic work that you're kind of conceptualizing?
It does. And it's really just thinking about consumption and trash and what we do and how much stuff we make. And, you know, being an artist is great. I love creating and the creative process, but it's also sometimes it's bringing more stuff into the world. And, you know, there's lots of little, especially on YouTube, there are a thousand like upcycling projects, and it's become such a dirty word because it's like you're taking plastic garbage and then with just some glitter and some two-part epoxy and four dozen hot glue gun sticks, you've made like a different piece of garbage.
Right, that gets thrown out eventually anyway. Right.
That also gets thrown out. And so
it's so funny you mentioned that. I just have a personal thing I want to. When I was in second grade, this is ancient history for people listening.
Okay.
This is a long time ago. I remember it was in the 70s, and it was the first round of this idea of recycling. That was really when that started going, you know, the late 60s, early 70s. And so I was in the midst of that in second grade. And so we were asked to collect all of our milk cartons, and we all brought them into school. And then we made a milk carton city, right? Okay, we made a milk carton city. And then we threw it out. I mean, it sat around for a week, and okay, it's a milk carton city. And then, you know, it wasn't there in the classroom anymore after a while. I was like, well, what happened to that? Oh, well, we threw it out. Anyway, it's just exactly what you're saying. That idea of upcycling is, I mean, I do think that there is a notion that if you use it once, you know, if you remove it once from the waste cycle, it decreases the waste stream by a certain mm-hmm. percentage, right? So it's not to downplay or denigrate that. But I really liked your idea about really being mindful about these supplies that we're using, these materials we're using, even when we're creating something as wonderful and esoteric as art.
Exactly. Yeah, I'm really thinking in terms of, you know, oftentimes we are just kind of delaying the inevitable, and waste starts at the moment of creation, whether you reuse something or recycle something or not. But and nothing's perfect, but hopefully this can be something that's kind of fun.
Well, it's something to think about too. And this is, of course, this is sort of an obvious statement, but this is what one of the great things about art. It makes us think.
Yeah.
It makes us think in a different way about something we hadn't thought about. So, is there a functional component to what you make, or is it purely aesthetic?
Oh yeah, So it's functional. It's like you know, handle grocery bags.
Oh, okay.
Zipper pouches, billfolds. It's just things made out of the plastic and sewing machine thread. So
but
it's
functional things,
not super intensive.
Not something to hang
but
on the wall.
Things.
Okay. I just wanted to get an idea for what you're creating.
good clarification.
Yeah. So what are some of your favorite things to make?
You know, I guess I carry a lot of stuff around, but so I like handle bags. I mean, they're good for the rain because the feed sacks are really heavy duty plastic, and it's fun to have chickens and rabbits and whatnot on them.
Well, I have seen this. You know, when you travel in to other countries, you see kind of upcycled or recycled bags mm-hmm. used a lot. People use, you know, plastic tote bags, and you can tell they're made from some other, you know, originally had an original other use. So I think that it's something that is well established, and it's mm-hmm. really cool that you're kind of following up on that here in Juneau, where, you know, the other pressure I think for Juneau is that we have a limited landfill.
Exactly.
I mean,
so true.
You know, it has a life cycle that is in the maybe just 10, 15, 20 years, you know, depending on how wise we are in using it. And then we've got a real problem on our hands.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, how many objects do you make for a first Friday like this when you put together something like this? Do you have a goal?
Oh, you know, I didn't have a hard number that I was working with. I've kind of filled up the whole wall space with what I can hang on the wall, and then I've got a bunch more back in my studio. I probably made, I don't know, 40 or 50 pieces for this.
Oh wow!
So
yeah.
Yeah.
And are these popular? Do people really seem to burn through them?
Surprisingly, yes,
That's
I do
cool.
burn through them, which is fun.
That's really
And
cool.
I mean, the other funny thing is being that this is the month of November, it'll be up all month. And, you know, that last weekend of November is what we traditionally have as the start of the holiday consumerism season. And so I also kind of like the idea of my trash sacks being a counterpoint to that. So there you go.
Trash sacks. We got to think of a new word there for that.
Maybe the branding's not so good there. I'll work on that.
Speak to high level art when you say trash sack. But I love it. It's great. And well,
okay.
And it's so it's fun not to get too highfalutin when we're being creative and doing these things.
That's
so,
my goal.
Yeah, that's great. Well, Mary, thanks so much for joining us. Tell us a little bit of the details of the Juneau Artist Gallery for folks that may, I don't know, who might not be familiar, but anyone listening that for some reason isn't familiar with the Juneau Artist Gallery.
Yeah, if you haven't found us yet, or if it's been a while, we are on the first floor of the Senate Building, which is downtown on South Franklin Street. We're open year-round. So this is the time of year where you can get us when it's not tourist season, which is a little bit more fun. 18 all local artists share the space. And so that means there's a really wide variety of stuff that you can see there. Also, because we're a co-op, we do accept new artists by application. So if there's anyone listening who is looking for potentially a space or a new group to display some art, we have a juried application process. And if you stop by tonight, we can give you information about that process and how that works.
No, that's a really cool tip as well. Yeah, that's great. Well, Mary, thanks so much. It's Mary McEwen, and she's the featured artist this month for Juno Artist Gallery. So that means that you'll see her featured tonight when you're walking around for First Friday of this November. It's such a fun time of year. You know, it really feels like we're heading into the holiday season. This feels like the kickoff to the holiday season in a way, that first
Definitely.
Friday of November. And then, of course, heading towards Gallery Walk in December, which is a big event, artistic event here in Juneau. And Mary, thanks so much for joining us, and good luck. I hope lots of your trash sacks sell.
Well, thank you very much.
We'll come up with a new name
Happy
for that.
To be
but,
here. Yes,
but thank you so much, and yeah, and have a great First Friday. Thanks, Mary.
Thanks. Okay. Thanks a lot.
Well, that'll do it for Juno Afternoon for today. It's broadcast live from Lingit Ani on KTOO at 104.3 FM, online at kto.org, and rebroadcast on this station at 7 o'clock tonight. To listen to interviews, see links to anything we discussed, or to be on the show yourself, check out our website at kto.org/JunoAfternoon. Juno Afternoon is a production of the KTOO Arts and Culture team. Boston Christopher is our producer, and we had help today from Aaron Tripp and Shelley Delaney. Our theme music is by Indian Agent. I'm Andy Klein, your host for today. Thanks for joining us. Until next time. Have a great weekend. It's going to be sunny, a little cold. Bundle up, but enjoy it. See everyone.